Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy Virtual Conference, designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
Imagine this. You're expecting a baby. You've prayed, planned, and dreamed. But then comes the diagnosis. Cystic hygroma, a rare birth defect. The doctors gave you the fact and very little hope. You're sitting in a cold room, holding back tears, holding on to faith. The world says prepare for the worst, but your spirit says fight. You don't feel strong. You don't feel ready. But you say, God, if you're in it, I'll keep going. I didn't expect for my strength to be tested so soon. When I heard the words no mother ever wanted to hear, my world tilted. My daughter, beautiful, fragile, and just born, had a birth defect. Cystic hygroma, two words I never heard before, but would never forget. Cystic hygromas are rare, fluid-filled tumors caused by a blockage in the lymphatic system. They often form around a newborn's neck, and though benign, they can grow large enough to threaten a baby's airway, leading to miscarriage, stillbirth, or life-threatening complications at birth. In my baby's case, the mass was both external and internal, partially visible on the outside, but extending deep into the abdominal wall, complicating everything. That day, I faced more than a diagnosis. I faced a crossroads. And in that silence, something stirred. Not fear, not panic, but a whisper, fight. And in that silence, what followed was not a story of instant healing, but a journey through weakness, surrender, and eventually wellness. I invite you into that journey, not to relive my pain, but to reveal how God met me there and how he can meet you there too. This is for the woman who kept going, even when her world was falling apart. For the one who held everyone else together while quietly breaking piece by piece. This is for the soul who tried, who's tired of being strong and ready to be whole. For the one who leads, loves, and lives, but hasn't made space to breathe. This is your reminder. Healing is not a weakness. It's your inheritance. My journey started in the lowest place where my faith was tested and the outcome uncertain. But what the valley tried to break, God used to build. And every step forward became a declaration. I survived what was meant to destroy me. Survived what was meant to destroy me. Go with me for a minute. I remember staring at the hospital ceiling, praying without words. It wasn't just the diagnosis, it was the flood of emotions that followed. Fear, guilt, helplessness, and a silent ache that settled in my chest. The doctors were honest. The cysts were serious. Surgery was a possibility. Monitoring was constant. There were moments when I felt like my daughter's life was suspended between two worlds, one where healing happened and one where the unthinkable did. I was no stranger to fate, but this part was super difficult. This wasn't the kind of battle you could worship your way around. This was the kind you had to worship through. I cried. I prayed. I fought to trust God with every ounce of strength I had left. Even when that strength looked like sitting in silence, holding my baby's tiny hand and whispering promises from scripture through my trembling lips. One of those promises came from 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. This verse became an anchor because in those dark nights, when faith felt thin and fatigue ran deep, it reminded me that God wasn't asking me to be strong. He was asking me to be willing. Willing to believe he could still look. Willing to trust even when he didn't understand, when I didn't understand. Willing to stay when I wanted to run. Over time, progress came, not overnight, but through quiet miracles, small signs, medical breakthroughs, hope layered on top of hard days, and with each moment, I learned something. Wellness isn't just about the physical healing. It was about spiritual resilience, emotional surrender, and a willingness to let God rebuild me from the inside out. Something changed in me. Not all at once, but undeniably changed. The woman who once cried herself to sleep from exhaustion began to wake up with purpose. I realized that healing was not a destination. It was a decision. A decision to partner with God. A decision to keep showing up. A decision not to let my brokenness define me. Weakness had once made me feel like a break. But God began to show me that weakness was actually a doorway, a divine invitation. Because when we reach the end of ourselves, we reach the beginning of Him. She started paying attention to her body, her thoughts, her emotions, her environment. She began to ask herself, what am I carrying that's too heavy? What have I stopped praying about because it hurts too much? What parts of me have gone silent because I've been too busy surviving? Slowly, my mind shifted. I was no longer fighting for victory. I was fighting from victory. The cross had already secured my healing. The resurrection had already declared behold, I just needed to walk in. I just needed to walk in. And I did, step by obedient step. I began waking up at 4 a.m., not just to beat the day, but to meet with God. I set alarms labeled God's time to remind myself that before anyone else had my attention, He deserved my attention first. I started working out twice a day, not out of vanity, but out of discipline. Moving my body became part of moving my soul towards wellness. It was about stewardship, not perfection. That's when wellness took a new meaning. It wasn't just physical, it was spiritual, emotional, mental, and it had to be intentional. I stopped waiting to feel better and started creating rhythms that supported my healing. was trying to return to who I was before the crisis. I was becoming someone new. Someone softer. Someone stronger. Someone slower, but sure. Someone who knew that wellness isn't weakness, it's warfare. Farrah just didn't survive her valley. She learned how to steward it. Along the way, she discovered that wellness is built, not wishful. It wasn't one big breakthrough that changed her. It was small, steady tools that carried her through. Practical steps. Spirit-led habits. Here are a few things that became anchors in my healing. Daily time with God. First and without distraction. I set alarms labeled God time because meeting with him became non-negotiable. It wasn't something to squeeze in after the chaos or when there was a spare moment. It was first. Before the noise, before the demands, before the day's weight settled in. In the quiet hours, in the stillness of dawn, she became with her weakness, her worries, and her worship. She didn't come with answers or strength, just a heart ready to listen and be filled. This sacred time became her refuge, the anchor holding her steady when everything else threatened to unravel. Two, physical movement as worship. I worked out twice a day. Not to earn praise or prove anything to the world, but because I understood that my body was a temple of the Holy Spirit, without a trainer, without anyone pushing me or motivating me. Every stretch, every step, every bead of sweat was an act of worship, offered up as gratitude for the life and strength God had given me. Movement became more than exercise. It was a way to honor God with my energy, effort, and endurance. Even when I was tired, even when the pain tried to steal her motivation, when I couldn't walk from sore legs from squats, or couldn't pick my fork to my mouth from sore arms from the weight bench, I chose to move forward, reminding myself that caring for my body was caring for the gift God had entrusted. Every workout, I declared, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And with each beat in my heart, I celebrated the miracle of resilience. Three, speaking life out loud. I learned to speak scripture over myself. Not merely reading the word, but declaring it with conviction and faith. Each verse became a lifeline, a weapon against doubt and fear. Verses like, I will live and not die, Psalm 118, 17. And I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me, Romans 8:37. Those became my battle cries, spoken out loud in the quiet morning, whispered in moments of weakness and shouting in times of triumph. Speaking life out loud rewired my mind and heart, replacing the lies of fear with the truth of God's promises. It's not just words. It was a daily declaration of victory, hope, identity rooted in Christ. Four, I gave boundaries and rest. I gave myself permission to rest, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally. I recognize the true wellness isn't just about pushing harder, but knowing when to pause. I turned off my phone, stepped away from the constant noise and shut down the guilt that tried to whisper she should always be doing more. Setting boundaries became an act of self-respect and spiritual obedience. Setting boundaries became an act of self-respect and spiritual obedience. Saying no to others wasn't selfish. It was scared. It was sacred. Saying no to others wasn't selfish. It was sacred. It was sometimes saying yes to God, to peace, and to healing that I desperately needed. In those moments of rest, I found strength, not weakness, and learned that honoring my limits was part of honoring the Creator who made me. 5, community and covering. Healing wasn't meant to happen in isolation. Barry stayed deeply connected to her faith, to her faith community, knowing that strength is multiplied when carried together. She leaned on prayer calls that lifted her when her own voice faltered, trusted accountability partners who spoke truth and encouragement when doubt crept in, and surrounded herself with voices that reminded her of her identity and purpose, especially when she forgot. In community, she found covering, a spiritual shield woven through shared faith, love, and relentless support. Together, they held her up, prayed her through the darkest days, and celebrated every small victory along the way. What carried her forward wasn't luck or magic, but faith in God's promises. And every time she showed up, even in weakness, she was choosing wellness. Every prayed, whispered, and quiet moment, every breath pushed through when her body wanted to quit, every scripture spoken over her reflection, claiming strength, healing, and hope. Each one was a thread woven into the tapestry of her restoration, a daily act of faith that transformed weakness into victory. These were the bricks she used to rebuild her foundation. Farrah didn't become well by accident. She became well on purpose. And now she stands not just as a mother who made it, not just as a coach who knows the truth, but as a woman who fought with her faith and won. Her daughter, by Michaela. Her daughter is thriving. Her body is strong. Her heart is healed in places she never thought possible. They said she might not make it. They gave the diagnosis, but God, my God, gave the final word. That little girl, once covered in wires and uncertainty, now dances, laughs, and lives with a life that doctors can't explain. She is joy in motion. She is strength in sneakers. She is proof that prayers don't just rise, they return with power. Every giggle is a hallelujah. Every milestone is a miracle. Every breath she takes is a reminder. God still heals. God still moves. God still wins. She is not just my daughter. She is his promise fulfilled. And watching her live is watching God's grace walk around in curls and courage. But most importantly, her spirit is alive. She's more than a miracle. She is the hope that God's promises are real and alive. And today, I want the same for you. If you've been walking through your own valley, emotionally, spiritually, physically, know this: God sees you. If you've been pouring into everyone else and silently falling apart, hear this. You are not forgotten. You don't have to wait until you feel strong to start healing. Healing begins when you decide to trust God in the middle of your weakness. When you say, I may be tired, but I'm not done. I may be broken, but I'm still chosen. I may feel weak, but I am still called. My story is proven. God's power isn't limited, and his love for you is too. So rise up. Rise up. Fight back. Don't just chase wellness. Choose it with intention. Claim it with unshakable faith and guard it like your life depends on it, because it does. This journey is sacred. Your healing is holy ground, and every step you take in faith is a step away from fear. Your journey isn't about perfection. It's about persistence. It's more than surviving. It's about truly flourishing. Step into your healing, your purpose, and your power, because wellness isn't a destination. It's a daily decision. You've got what you need. God's grace is more than enough. For every step you take, every battle you face, and every breakthrough you are about to experience, it's written on the pages of Scripture, sealed by the blood of Christ, and carried by the everlasting arms of a faithful God. You are not alone in this journey. Strength is available when you feel weak. Hope shines brightest in the darkest moments, and peace surpasses every fear. So stand firm, fast, and trust that the same power that restored my daughter's life, that restored my own life, is ready to restore yours. Your breakthrough is closer than you think, so don't flinch, don't fold. Embrace it with open hands, unshakable faith, and a fearless heart, because God's word never returns void. Again, rise up, speak his promises, and choose healing over hiding. This isn't just about your waistline. It's about your whole temple, your whole life, your whole God. It isn't just about fitness. It's about faith, freedom, and full body surrender. Thank you.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session as we transition to our next expert. Remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit ConnectedLeadersAcademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.